But he did tell me that he has been in Mexico City for the last 18 years, been ministering to the people in Mexico City, and has started in the last 5 years a small cell type of multiplying church planting ministry down there, and I'm anxious to hear more about it. Let's go to our Father in prayer to start. Father, we're so thankful that you have allowed us to all be here, to be a part of this, that you've given us the time and the wherewithal to be together, to learn more about how we may serve you and to serve the world around us that is desperately searching for the ability to know you and to be a part of who you are. Father, we just ask that you help us to become the people that you want us to be, to help us to become the people that we sometimes feel that we can be, and to become the people that we know that you would want us to be. Father, help us to learn more about how we may share your love and your word throughout the world. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Billy Moore.
Thank you. Good afternoon. It's good to be here with you. I have to tell you the truth, I haven't taught in English for about 5 years, so si empiezo a hablar en español, you'll understand why. Okay, but it's good to be here with you. I do live and work in Mexico City. My wife is here with me this afternoon. I don't know where she's around here somewhere. Belinda. Also my son-in-law who works with us. And my daughter's back here in the back, Amanda. And that's my grandbaby back there. And they live and work with us in Mexico City. We live and work in one of the largest cities of the world. And as we said earlier, I've been there 18 years. And I've actually worked in small groups for about the last 10 years. But the last 5 years, we've been concentrating on living in what we call cell community or small group communities. And we've gotten away from the idea of planting one large church in that huge city and are now in a multiplying congregation planting strategy. In the last, and God has blessed our work. He's always blessed our work. If God's there, your work will be blessed. The fruit comes from Him. But the last 5 years has been very exciting. We've had about 200 baptisms in the last 5 years in our work there. And we've planted 5 new congregations in the city. And it's been strictly through small group work or small community work. We live in Christian community. And we believe that is the secret of what is happening for us there. We also work in a 5E strategy. I have my notes because I love to talk and I've got 45 minutes, so I better stick pretty close to what I've got planned to say or I won't get finished. But we work in what we call a 5E strategy, which involves exalting God, edifying one another, equipping ourselves, equipping every saint, evangelizing the lost, and expanding our leadership. And that it's done, all of the work is done in our small groups, in our small communities that meet in homes throughout the week. And we have found that working in people's home is really an open door for evangelizing the lost. And that's what I've been asked to share with you this afternoon. To introduce my lesson, you just can't get away from it. Evangelism is at the heart of God. And also, I believe that community is at the heart of God. And that's what we strive to do. We strive to live in Christian community together and share our lives with each other and with the lost. If God is not in the picture, not much is going to happen. But if He's there, a lot can happen. And so I truly believe that evangelism is in the heart of God. God loves and seeks the lost. It is He who add people to us. It's not our fruit. It's God's fruit. And He's the one that is about doing the task. And He invites us to join Him in that task. And also, I believe God has always lived in community. He's Trinity. In fact, the only time God has not lived in community is when His Son went to the cross to save us. And the community of the Trinity was broken. But why? So He could bring us back to live with Him. And He has created us to live in community with Him. God is the heart of community evangelism. It's expressed as the Creator, the Father. God, the Father, created us, and He created us to do what? To live in eternity with Him. And of course, we all know the story. Because of sin, that's no longer true. But He still desires to live in community with us. And we know the Savior is the Son. And He came to the earth and lived among us so that we can know God and bring us back to Him. And we also believe that the Spirit is very much involved in the world today. He is our guide. He is our leader. He takes us like Philip to the eunuch in the desert, or He takes us to the multitudes in the city. He is the convincer. And He is alive and well and working on this earth. And so God is at the heart of community evangelism. As I talked about earlier, our whole strategy is to live in our Christian community together. And Jesus is at the center of every Christian community. Oh, we strive for that to be true. Sometimes Satan likes to come in. But that's what we are striving to do, is to have Jesus at the center of our Christian community. And all of our work, this is key that I share this with you from the beginning, because our small group community is not just an evangelism strategy. It is the core of who we are and what we do. That's where we live and work together. Our small group community is not a program that the church has. It is all that we do. In other words, on Sundays, our small groups get together and praise God. We live and work in our small groups throughout the week. And it's not just a weekly reunion. We are family. And we live as family together in these small groups. And we strive for Jesus to be at the center of our small groups. And we strive to live in His presence. Okay? When you live in the presence of Jesus, things happen. And that's what we strive to do. We also strive, when we live in His presence, we experience His power. And when you experience His power, guess what's going to happen too? Jesus is going to show you His purpose. At the present time, we've got about 14, it's hard to keep up with them these days, we've got 14 cell groups throughout the city among the 6 congregations. And most of the congregations that we have planted in the last 5 years are house churches. I have a church in my house. I have about 35 to 40 people meeting our home on Sundays. We have another congregation in the western part of the city, about 40 people in that congregation. Our old church is in the center that has a building. There's about 100 people that meet there. There are 2 house churches in the south of the church of the city with about 20 in each of those homes. And then we also have another church in the center of the city, one of the roughest areas of the city, where about 20 people meet. And we come together and praise and worship God on Sunday. But during the week, we share our lives together. For example, the church that meets in our home, we consist of 6 different cells that meet through the week, or small groups. And we are sharing our lives together. And included among sharing our lives together, we share our lives with the lost. And that becomes open door of evangelism. And it is a powerful door. And that's the strategy we use. We use a dynamic in our small groups, but it's all focused so that we have an encounter with Jesus. And that we can sit at Jesus' feet and be edified by Him. And our small group reunions during the work is not what we think of as a Bible study. And not really a sharing time as we think. We truly aim to go to Jesus' feet and listen to Him and let Him work on us. And it's a powerful door. And what I want to share with you today is some principles that I believe God has shown us there that maybe you would be interested in and could use in your evangelism. Because cell groups are a powerful door and a big door for evangelism. I'm going to call these the 6 C's of community evangelism. just to help us remember these. And this is what we strive to do in our small group evangelism. As I said earlier, the key is our cell community, our small group community. It's based upon that, with Jesus being in the center. And these are family-type groups. They're not affinity groups. They're family. We have kids from 2 months to elderly people, grandma and grandpas, in our cell groups. And our kids participate in our cell groups and in our dynamic. We're family. And also included in our cell groups are fathers of the faith, people who have been Christians for some time. But we also have young men of the faith. We also have babies, children of the faith. And yes, we have lost people in our cells as well. And that's the basis of our cells. That is what we live and work in. And the 6 C's that I want to share with you today, that we these are principles and not steps that we use to work with the lost. And God has used it mightily in our work. And they are contact, care, cultivation, communication, creation, and commitment. Okay? And that's what we're going to look at. These, as I said, are not steps. They're principles. So many times we think we've got to have steps to follow. And we do these things, but we'll get these results. Guess what? You can't put God in steps. And you can't put Him in boxes. He's in control. And you find that out real quick. Well, some of us missionaries do not find it out very quick. It takes us quite a few years to figure it out that, hey, we're not in control. And God is. And it's the same with any strategy. He has got to be in the center, and He has got to control it. So these 6 C's that were up there before are not steps. You can be caring for somebody and then cultivate them. And guess what you're going to find out the next week? Hey, I got to care for this person some more. And it's back and forth. Or all of them may just come at once. You know, you may have a seeker come into your group, and he comes there for one reason. He wants to know Jesus. And he's ready to hear the message. You may have someone else come into your group because you're a gringo, and he's curious what in the world you're doing there. And it may take him months. It may take him years to open his heart up to Jesus. So they're not steps. They're principles that I want to share with you. And the first one is, we've talked about the community. His first one is contact. You must make contact. But there's an amazing thing about contact by living and working in community groups. You don't knock doors to get your contacts. In fact, you begin your contacts through what we call oikoi. You know what that word means? It's just a simple Greek word, which means house, home, or family. And that's what we work. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul tells us we are God's oikos, His family. And that's what we work. And the amazing thing about working in cell communities, it begins with the people you know. Okay? For example, right now, can you name 5 people in your life that you know, that you have contact with on a weekly basis that are lost, that do not know Jesus? Can you name 5? That's your mission field. That's your what we call your primary oikos. Okay? The people you already know. And many of you know more than 5. Some of us don't know any lost people anymore. But many of us do. And that's where we start our work at, with the people we know in Mexico City who do not know Jesus or may know something of Him but do not have a personal relationship with Him and who are lost, who are not saved. That's where it begins. Can you name 5? You know, when we meet in our cell groups during the week, we have an average of 8 to 15 adults in our cells, and every night, every week, we pray for up to 30 people that we know among our oikoi that do not know Jesus and that we are trying to share Jesus with. But think about this as well. Because now think about your five people that you know who do not know Jesus or do not have a saving relationship with Him. Can you name five people of each of your five that they know who are their friends? Can you do it? Can you? There's where your work's at. Because when you work in community evangelism, what the idea is, you don't just invite them to come to your group and to get to know you. You go to their world. And you get involved in their world. Isn't that what Jesus did? He ate with the lost. He went to their parties. And He shared His life with them. He came to seek and save the lost. And that's what we're about. An amazing thing happens because you may have a good friend who does not know Jesus, and he doesn't want to know Jesus, and he may never want to know Jesus, but if you get him, really get involved in his life, you may meet five of his friends, and two of them, yes, are seekers. And so instead of your field being five people, if you'll get involved in their lives and really get involved in their lives, now you've got a mission field of 30 people that you can work with. And that's what oikos evangelism. Okay? And that's what we strive to do. That's why every week we have 30 people that we're praying for continuously. And not only praying for them, we start making plans how we can get to know them. Mexicans love to party. And most of their parties are pachangas. You know what a pachanga is? That's a wild party. But it's amazing that you can throw a birthday party. And like at my birthday, every year we have a birthday party and we just, ourselves invites our friends. I have 100 people come to my birthday party. And most of them don't know Jesus. And they're amazed. You mean you can party without getting drunk? You know? You can actually have fun with all that other stuff? And many of those people now are in the Lord. In fact, we've got elders that were met that way. And it works. The sad thing, and it's not so much for those people that we worked with in Mexico, but the sad thing among us and missionaries as well, the longer we're in a place, the less unsaved people we know. So not only do you strive to work your primary oikoi and your secondary, you have to make new ones. In other words, you got to get out of your comfort zone and go meet people. And be willing to share your life with them. And that's what community evangelism is all about. And why? Because Jesus lives in you. And that's what it's all about. Okay? So contact. And it's amazing. I guarantee you if we had time, I could have y'all write down five people, if you can, that you know, that do not know Jesus. And then how many you could name from each of those five. And from this group here, I don't know how many we have here, 50 people. We would probably have, 400 or 500 contacts that this group can work with when you go home. Don't tell me you don't have a mission field. You do. All of us do. And it begins with the people we know. And you must be willing to make contact. And it's not confrontational evangelism. That's not how it begins. Just be their friend and show Jesus to them. And that comes to the next C. Care. And the class before us today talked about care. When you make contacts, watch out. Don't make contacts with the lost if you don't want to care for people. Because it requires for you to give your heart to them and care for them. It's all about caring. Is that not true? Did Jesus not care? Was He not willing to get His hands dirty with the sinner, with the sick, with the lame, with the dirty, with the outcast, with those nobody wanted to have anything to do with? He cared. An amazing thing, if you're going to get out and make contacts and be involved with people, You got to care. And it is hard work. And it can get dirty. But it's worth it. We try to care for people. As I said earlier, because Jesus lives in us. An amazing thing happens when you care for people and invite them to be a part of your cell, and they actually come. Because what happens, if you are really trying to live in Christian community and share your lives together, as I believe they strive to do in the first century, these people are going to see, hey, this isn't religion. They're not trying to cram something down my throat. These people care and love for each other. And they're honest with each other. And they share their weaknesses as well as their strength. And they're confronting each other. And they're helping each other. Hey, I like this. And I want to be a part of it. And it happens over and over again. The Mexican people are the most hospitable people in the world. They love to have you in their homes. We hand out invitations on the street. Thousands, when I have groups come, and very few will throw them down because that's disrespectful. And they want to feed you. And oh man, can they cook. I tell you, I've been on diet, so I've lost some weight. You should have seen me earlier. They can cook, and those little ladies love to put it on the table. But even among all that, it takes time to become their friends. Because they got to know you care. And that you care about them. And so that is vital. It must be part of it. Now, how did that get up there? There you go. And it involves making relationships with people. Healthy relationships. To find out about their family. To find out about their problems. To find out about their strengths. To know what they do for work. To go to their work, to go the extra mile for them, to develop good relationships with them. And it involves meeting people's needs. Physical needs, not just spiritual. Physical needs. And you do not meet their needs as a trick to evangelize them. You meet their needs because Jesus lives in you. And Jesus meets people's needs. Okay? It's not a step just so you can get into Bible study with them. It's something you do because it is in you. And when that happens, Jesus opens doors and always gives free. So it involves relationships and needs. Oh man, time's flying. From that, cultivation. And cultivation is basically a repetition of care. You cultivate your contacts. And you cultivate your contacts by caring for them more. And loving them more. And the amazing thing, you just don't cultivate them. You're cultivating yourself. And you're preparing your heart for them and their heart for you. And that's what cultivation is. You know, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3. Apollos planted, I watered. Or was it he that planted and Apollos watered? I don't remember. But God gives the increase. And so you cultivate the people that you're working with. And the first thing in cultivation is acceptance. You must be willing to accept people where they are. And I don't care what their lifestyle is or what they have done or how they smell. You must be willing to accept. Is that what Jesus has done for all of us? And it begins with acceptance. And people are craving acceptance in the world today. They are craving relationships. They want to be part of something where they're loved and accepted for who they are. And the amazing thing when we do that, people, Jesus will change them. He'll do it. That's how He begins with us. It involves love. Love. And I mean love with action. If they're hungry, you give them something to eat. If they're looking for a job, the whole cell community gets looking for job opportunities for that person. And you're sharing and living your life together and you love each other. With that, With acceptance and love, guess what you get? Confidence. And people start growing in their confidence with you. I have had people who are just beginning to learn about Jesus just break down and, excuse my English, spill their guts in a cell reunion and just plow. This is my life. Now, how can they do that? Because they got confidence. I've had little old ladies pray their first prayer in just begging God to change their lives. First prayer they've ever done without any beads and quoting something they've memorized. It's an amazing thing when you set and love people. Confidence comes. And Christ can work in it. And then you give example. And the example in the cell community is not a bunch of people that are perfect and do everything right and always say the right word. That would be nice, but that's not real. The example is people who are struggling and fighting Satan together and having victories in their lives. And they see the example of the people that are involved in it. And the amazing thing about the community that your non-Christian friends are part of, they're not treated different. When you have a visitor come into your cell group, you don't set them over there and then focus on them and begin immediately trying to teach them a gospel presentation. No, that comes with time. And it's never done in our cell community. We do it at other opportunities. What you do, those people come in, you just welcome. They're one of you. And they're family. But they're not Christian yet. Yes, but they're family. Love them. Someday they will become Christian. And it's happened over and over again. And they see that example, and they learn new values, and they're excited about it. And you are cultivating your care for them, and their care for you. The next thing is communication. I work with the Ventures and Missions program. Most of y'all heard of that? I think they had their flag presentation. We've had, I don't know how many AIM teams in Mexico City. I've got 7 girls right now that have been there will be a year in May. We've worked with a lot of AIMers over the years. And they are really good. These young people are really good at what we do, making friends. And sharing their lives with people. There's something I always have to tell my aimers. And it's true. Your friendship, in of itself, will not save anybody. Only Jesus saves. He is the Savior. And someday, they must hear the good news. It is the power of God for salvation. And it is really cool to make friends and share your life with people, even though it is hard work. But it's not so cool to confront a good friend you've made with the gospel sometimes. You know why? Because you're afraid, he's going to reject me. But he doesn't reject you. What he does, because Jesus is in you, he's rejecting Jesus as well. And it's sad, but it's part of it. And the thing of it is, you must have communication. You can invite and invite and share your lives with people, but someday they've got to hear the good news. And so that's part of our evangelism. And the communication, I believe, is twofold. It's Christ the person. Teach them the Christ who lives in you. Teach them Christ the person. Let them see Jesus in you. Man, it breaks down lots of walls. I mean, let them see Jesus, the person, living in your small group, even in the bad times as well as the good times. Let them see it. But it also involves Christ the message. And what we do in our small groups is, and it depends upon the people. You know, always the people that I'm teaching and apprentices that I teach on how to do this, they say, but when is the best time, Billy, to ask them if they want to study the gospel? And my answer is always simple, as soon as possible. But how do we know if they're ready yet? How do we know? And I said, it's so simple. Listen to me, I'm going to teach you right now how. You look at them in the face and you say, do you want to study the gospel? And guess what? They're going to tell you, no, yes, or not now. And you know. It's really not that hard. Okay? And the powerful thing about living and working in cell community, we're not all evangelists. For some of us, it's hard. And I believe every Christian should be able to explain the hope that's within them. But it's hard for some people. I mean, we've got little old ladies in our cells who can barely read. And they say, how can I share Jesus with people? Well, I tell them, you're sharing them Jesus every time you meet with them. They see Jesus in you. And everybody in the cell is using their gifts God has given them to show them Jesus. And those who do have the gift of evangelism, it's not long. They're asking those people, hey, you want to study the gospel? And they get together. We always try to do it with two people because you're always training somebody else as well. And they study the gospel with them. And so communication is very important. Okay? We're doing good. May have time for questions. After communication, well, it's not after because like I said, these are principles. You can be communicating and then you found out, hey, this guy's not ready yet. I got to care some more. You know, and it never ends. It all goes on at the same time because you're living your lives together. And it is Christian community. But then what we call creation. And what is that? That's the joyous time when God adds people to your number. And it all begins with faith. The just man lives by faith. He lives by faith. And it's faith in Jesus Christ. That guy's faith in Jesus Christ may have been sparked by his faith in you, but it's ultimately got to come to a personal faith in Christ. And that's a principle for all his life. We are saved by faith. You can't get away from it. And God works in many times and areas of our lives to save us. And yes, I do believe that we are saved when we die and are buried and raised with him in baptism. Salvation is a lifelong thing. I mean, Jesus starts on a person and the Spirit starts on a person to get him saved long before he goes in that water. He's not in that relationship with Christ yet, but he starts on him. And he uses us, his community, to start and to show faith and to spark that seed of faith. And when it hits a good heart, what happens? It responds and fruit is given. And we praise God when people decide that they want to be immersed in Christ Jesus. They've been treated as family. They've been loved as family. But they also know that something's lacking. And when they're born again, it's a community affair with us. When somebody decides they want to be baptized, we immediately call everybody in our cell and try to get everybody there to celebrate with us that time. And the amazing thing, you guys, about this work in community evangelism. I've been involved in missions a long time, and I've seen a lot of baptisms, and I've seen retention rates that aren't too good in our work. But the amazing thing, in the last 5 years, the people that are baptized in our cell groups stay because they're already part of something, and they don't want to leave, and they're already loved and accepted, and they stay. They don't go away. The people we're still losing, you know who they are? The people who come in to our worship on Sunday and hear a great message and respond, and then sometimes we never see them again. But when people are loved and cared for and born in this, and you see creation in your cell, they stay. And this results in multiplication. We are in a multiplication effort. When our cells grow, our small groups grow to 12 to 15 people, they multiply to 2. We have what we call siervos, or servants, sales servants, at least two sales servants in each of our sales, so that when they multiply, you already have a new leader for the new one. We have some 39 men and women involved in serving in leadership in our sales, and it's an amazing thing. Yes, you change people, but you still, it's the same principle, the same context, and God uses it powerfully. Creation, and the last C is commitment. Now this one really isn't a step, because your commitment begins up at contact and runs throughout. But also, when you have a babe in Christ, they must be taught that this is a new life, and it involves commitment. And the thing about, too, when you're working in a small group-based ministry, and that is your ministry, you don't have Sunday school. You don't have Monday night classes they go to. They are taught as part of their cell life. And so you have to have materials and a system to design to teach these new Christians. And what we try to do is, in their first year of Christian life, teach them four basic commitments. And these are old. These come from Rick Warren years ago. This isn't original at all. But we teach them commitment to Christ's body. And not just commitment to their cell group, to the entire body. Because the entire body is important. And then we teach them commitment to maturity, their personal walk with Jesus, and develop spiritual disciplines in them. We teach them commitment to ministry, that they are active part of their small group community and must use their gifts. And we teach them commitment to mission. And then we add on to this seminars, retreats, and try to develop good study habits in people's life. And this is all done in the context of our community. And the leaders of these small communities are responsible to make sure that everyone in his group are studying the Bible and growing in the Lord. So there you have it. Those are our six C's of community evangelism: contact, care, cultivation, communication, creation, and commitment. Any questions? Mhm. Mhm. We have a large house. No, in our church we have six cells that come together on Sunday. Anywhere they begin from as few as four adults, and we strive to multiply them when they're 12 to 15. But it depends upon your leadership as well, if they're ready. Yes, ma'am. Okay, good question. We're family. So we have a 4W dynamic: welcome, worship, word, and work. Welcome is just to break the ice. And our kids are in there with us. In fact, we've got a little kid in our cell group. He has a question ready every week for the kids. And they share with us, and they love it. We become their dads and moms, grandpas and grandpas. Many of them, their own parents or fathers aren't even interested, you know. So they share the welcome with us, with the adults. Then they worship God with us. We mix our songs with kids' songs, and they'll lead songs, and we just worship together. And then during Word, where we read a gospel and share the Word together, they go to another room and have their worship with a leader. And then also do their work together. And then many times afterwards they come back and share with the adults what they learned as well. So it's, and we also believe in our work there that the primary responsibility for educating our children is the family. Not the church. The family. Second responsibility are our small communities. And then the third is our Sunday worship. So that's the concepts we use with our children. And it works well. Yes, sir?
Do you train your family or your men together so
Yes, sir. First of all, it's the primary responsibility of the sales servant to train his assistant. It's hands-on. It's internship. It's disciple. You learn by doing. But then every servant is also a member of what we call servants group. That's where, and all the people who meet in this group once a week, believe it or not, and these are people who work 40, 60-hour weeks, just put bread on the table. We meet once a week among the leaders or the servants and use the same dynamic, but is also used to encourage, support each other, share our ministry together. And also in those times, 16 weeks every year, I do what's called a boot camp where we teach them the principles of leading the cell group. And then we also have retreats for them and seminars. So that's how we do it. Yes, ma'am. I just keep loving them. One of the hardest things to know is when to shake the dust off. I wish I could answer that, but it's hard to know. Because I have shook the dust off of some people, and they just don't accept it. They want to be dust. So they just keep coming back. And we have people that has taken 10 years to convert to the Lord. We just don't approach that subject. Not for a while. And then if they want to keep coming to the group, we just keep loving them. They're part of the group. They're part of us. And then another opportunity comes up, we'll pop the question again. Or what happens lots of times, they'll finally come to you and say, I'm ready. Yeah, I got 5 more minutes. Yes, sir. Yeah. What we try to do, and this is the standard we try to use, if the cell can or the small group can take care of their needs, they do it among themselves. If not, then it goes to the church, and we help with the funds. All of our small groups have food dispensers ready to give to people who need them. And then you get into all the technical things because, you know, sometimes when you give people money, you're really not helping them. And so it's just like any other ministry. Also, we have a free medical clinic for children in our building in the church downtown. So it all is combined together. Yet the primary place where we want to take care of their needs is in that small group. Okay, one more question. I better quit. Uh-huh. Okay, it's exalting God. This is what we strive to do in our small group community. Exalt God. Edify each other, or let Christ edify us. That every member is equipped. We evangelize the lost. And we expand our leadership. And those aren't, I don't know who those came from, but they're not original. Wasn't copyrighted, and I'd surely give him credit. Okay, thank you very much. I enjoyed it tremendously.